Call the meeting to order and ask you to rise and join me in the Pledge of the Flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A roll call of members.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Burbank is asked to be excused. Ms. Chock?
Present.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne will be arriving later this evening. Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Klinkelaire?
Here.
13 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We now have time for privilege of the floor for the public. If anyone wishes to speak, you can walk up to the mic, state your name and where you're from, and we allow 3 minutes to speak on any topic. Besides our presenters, is anyone here to speak on any topic? All right, we'll move to privilege of the floor for legislators. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to give everyone a heads up, and I'm sure many of you know, the Grassroots Festival is this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's $40 a pop if you go on each day, and I think $30 on Sunday. It's fun, it's frolic, it's dancing in the dust. You'll love it. Please come. Everyone will love to have you there.
Thank you. Frank Protos.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before we meet again, the Danby Old Home Days is the 26th of this month. You're all invited. I understand that Pam McAsey is leading the parade. Didn't you hear about that?
No, I didn't.
And the Friday before, the 25th, Cooperative Extension and 4-H are having their 4-H fair out at 4-H Acres. So you're all invited to that as well. And then you can go to the Grassroots Festival. And there's no charge, by the way, for either one of them. But if you want to kick in $40, it's okay.
Pam McAsey.
I would just like to remind my colleagues that on Thursday, there's a meeting of the Upstate Coalition on Garbage Trucks, and Linda Haas-Manley will be there doing a presentation on the study that Cornell did, and that should be an interesting meeting. So it's over in the old jail, and it's starting at 12:30.
Julie Kiefer.
Last week, the U.S. Senate passed, by a really lopsided margin, a FISA bill that, as Senator Russ Feingold said, is the biggest assault on our Constitution in our nation's history. Not only did it provide retroactive immunity to those telecoms that had blithely gone along with the president's illegal pre-9/11 request for access to our telephone use, ignoring the fact that at least one telecom, Quest, recognized the request as illegal and refused to act without a court okaying it. The bill also legalized such actions in the future if the president just says it's okay. So our New York State senators, much to their credit, voted for each of three separate amendments, which would have corrected some of this. Each of those amendments lost. And then our senators voted against the bill. I think we should thank them for that. So now we're giving up our Fourth Amendment privacy, ostensibly to fight terrorists who oppose our freedoms. And there are freedoms that we're now giving up ourselves. I think Rachel Maddow said best, if this is winning, what would losing look like? Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else? Kathy Busserer.
Well, it's hard to follow up such a somber announcement, and I share unduly sentiment on this, and I know that a lot of us are deeply troubled by that, but I am going to talk about the dragon boat. You'll note that the dragon is no longer hanging in our chambers, and that's not because a city or a town team came out to beat us, and it's not because the Ithaca 5-0 team, which left everybody in waves. They were outstanding. They were just amazing, and they actually won the community division. It's because we haven't hung it up again. I tell you what, though, a lot of us that were talking and that were there, Nate was emceeing. He did a terrific job, and a lot of county employees, a lot of legislators came out to support, and county administrators and folks from various departments in the county showed up. We vowed that next year we're going to have our own steerer. Next year we're actually going to practice. And next year we will have a requirement that people need to have both feet in the county in order to be on the team. No, actually everybody who participated was in Tompkins County at the time. We pride ourselves on the fact that our team has introduced more people to paddling in Tompkins County who have gone on to other teams where, than any other team. We want to extend congratulations in addition to the Hawaii. The Ithaca 5-0 team, which did a wonderful job and took first place in community, Francisca Racker Center, which had a solid second place. And the third place team was Cornell Cooperative Extension?
Yes,
it the Dragoneers?
Was, yeah.
And it was a great time. People, teams have improved drastically, and I think that every year the Dragon Boat gets better, the Dragon Boat Festival gets better, and I think that next year our participation is also going to improve because we learn so much every year. I want to thank in particular the Labor Management Cooperative Relations Group, Jim and Chantelise, you know who you are, and thank them for the recruiting and other collaborative efforts that took place. But we really had a good time, so thanks.
Thank you, Kathy, and I want to thank Karen Fuller particularly for pulling it together as our behind-the-scenes manager.
No kidding. And she was very much missed, by the way, on the day of the race, but we understood.
And I'll call on Steve, but why don't we actually hang up the dragon while we're chatting further. If Nathan and Carol may want to use some thumbtacks, we can put it back on the wall. Steve?
Hang up where?
Kathy, is there any truth to the rumor going around that the steerer in the second race is being recruited as the next county administrator?
I know there was some sentiment at a certain point.
He's in the top three.
The man had very clear instructions.
You will do this and this. That
was the first steerer.
It was the first one?
The second one refused to count, Steve.
Well, the first one was my recruiter. First time I would recruit.
Sounds like our current county administrator.
No, I wouldn't give any comments.
Jim Dennis.
Kathy mentioned Nathan Shinagawa, and Nathan did a really great job announcing. So if like this hospital thing goes south or whatever Nate's trying to do with his life, sports announcing could work because he's got a great voice. He'll talk to anyone. He's got 100 questions, and he was very entertaining and did a great job following everyone around and talking about the event because rowers can be sometimes very boring. They're like 200 yards away, you know, so it was cool. He did a great job.
And I will no longer speak ill of the county team after nearly being thrown in the water by people. So, and I wasn't speaking ill. I was just teasing in a loving way, you know, to my county team.
And so were we, Nathan.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, look, keep the banter going for 8 hours is a great job. Thank you very much. Any further?
Yeah.
Frank Proto.
Mike, thank you. The two other items, I'm sorry. Just, you should have all received a letter from Rich McDaniels,
yep,
who's the chairman of the TCAT board, about the presentation on the 29th, which will be the budget review. And I'm going to hold comments on the lake water monitoring program and the status of it until Martha, because we did it under Martha's planning committee, and try to answer any questions then and give the timetable for the next couple of meetings. The The TCAT presentation, as I understand it, is at noon. Does
yes.
anyone have any?
It's at noon, July 29th. Refreshments provided.
Right.
At the public library. The Borg Warner Room. Any further messages or privilege to the floor from legislators? If not, I think we can, let's see. I don't think we have a municipal official here. So we'll move on to our special topic presentation, the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. Carl Graham is here from Alternatives Federal Credit Union. Welcome, Carl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Carl Graham. I'm the Director of Community Relations and Development for the Alternatives Federal Credit Union. I'm here with my two co-workers, Brian Zapp, who's the Community Tax Program Director, and Rima Shamia, who was the Community Tax Program AmeriCorps Vista. We're here to talk about our free tax program, which just finished its fifth year. The people of Tompkins County, through you folks, were generous in providing funding for us for the program for this past season. So I wanted to come and present these statistics on the program to you. Unfortunately, our PowerPoint is not communicating with the projector, so we'll have to do this the old-fashioned way, and you'll have to read, so we apologize for that. Rima is going to take you through the statistics.
Hello. The first slide is just an introductory slide, and our contact information is there in little print. Like Carl said, Brian Zapp is the program director, and I'm the AmeriCorps Vista, and that's our phone number there if you care to get in touch with us. Actually, that phone number is wrong. I don't know why, but I can give it the proper one to you at the end. If you would like it. Anyway, the second slide is our total refund for the year, which is just under $2.1 million, which is up $25,000 from last year. And that includes federal refund, state refund, the whole package, EITC, and all that good stuff. And then the next slide is my favorite. I really like this number a lot. Based on the best estimate cost of the program, for every dollar that's put into the program, the community gets out $32. So the $10,000 that the county legislature contributed kind of, you know, put it through the program, did some crunching, and boom, the community gets back $320,000. So I like that number a lot. I hope you guys do too. The next slide, federal EITC. To go over it in case you don't know, or just to refresh your memory, the EITC is the Earned Income Tax Credit. It's one of the main reasons why there are VITA programs. The credit is to help people who work but don't make a whole lot of money sort of make ends meet. By when they file taxes at the beginning of the year, kind of giving them a little extra money to help them out. And there's a federal EITC. The program brought into the community over $850,000. And then there's a New York State EITC, which added up to $255,000. So actually, if you look at the numbers, that's over, or just about half of our total is made up of sort of free federal and state dollars coming into the county, about $1 million worth. So we served just under 1,300 households. If you look at the next slide, 1,292 households, which is a 7% increase from last year. And we filed 2,580 federal and state returns. And I'd also like to mention that all of these returns are done by volunteers, by trained volunteers. So we had 79 trained volunteers this year who helped out at the site, which is actually like 30% increase from last year, which had a lot to do with Ithaca College and other sources of volunteers. So we're really heavily dependent on them. The next slide, the average adjusted gross income, which is basically the income that a family has before taxes are taken out, was $16,200 for 2006. And for 2007, it went down significantly. It was $14,800. Yes?
To what do you attribute that?
I don't know. I have a couple ideas. Well, we have a couple ideas. One could be the economic stimulus payments. Was a big incentive for a lot of people who come in who wouldn't normally have filed, who have very low income. So that could have skewed our numbers a bit. It also could be that we tried to do more targeted outreach to certain neighborhoods in the county. So that could have made a difference. Although I'm not really sure. We really don't know. You could guess.
Speaking, it would be worth tracking in the future.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
If somebody at 16209 in 06 just came back again, probably had a little higher income. So you're really looking at
a different set of people. Yeah. Yeah.
In fact, and I was wondering from the 1292, the 7% increase from last year. Do you have any sense of how many are people who've come back or how many are new?
I think it's something, just right off without knowing and having the numbers right in front of me, I think it's somewhere between 50 and 60% are returning.
Okay.
Does that sound right to you, Brian?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sure. So the next slide. Part of the point of our program is to make sure they claim their EITC money from the federal government, their earned income tax credit. And another reason is to make sure that the neediest people in our community are not falling prey to predatory lenders and to predatory practices. Some professional tax preparation services charge hundreds of dollars to low-income people to prepare relatively simple tax returns. And so when they come to us, they don't have to pay anything, which is a big help for them. So we really like this number. The next slide, $205,400 in fees that we saved our clients that they otherwise would have paid to a paid tax preparer, and they otherwise would have paid for Refund Anticipation Loans, which we offer sort of an alternative to that that has a very small fee and has a very low interest rate that's much more affordable for people. So if they're in a desperate situation and they really need their money now, they don't have to pay hundreds of dollars to get it. So $205,000 saved. So if you look at that in terms of dollars spent, dollars saved for the community, for every $1 that the program spends, $3.16 is saved by the community. Here's the volunteer slide. 79 active volunteers, a 36% increase from last year, and 1,500 volunteer hours. We got 64 new members, as in account holders at Alternatives, and 39% of those were unbanked, as in they didn't have a current bank account. They were not currently banked. And that's actually high. I think our percentage normally is something like 20 or 25%. I think that's about right. So basically that means that the people who come through the tax site tend to use financial resources less than the average person who would come into our credit union. The next slides
are maps, which I think are pretty neat because they show the distribution of our clients. The first one is Tompkins County, although I'm sure I didn't have to tell you that. And each little square represents one client and where their home is. So it shows that our clients are pretty well spread throughout the county, although there is a big concentration in Ithaca, and there's a few other sort of hot spots. And then the next slide is Tompkins County surrounded by the six surrounding counties and the distribution of our clients. And if you look at that slide, you'll see that the vast majority of our clients are concentrated within Tompkins County. And lastly, the last page, the last two slides, are just thank yous to our community partners and to our sponsors. This program is really a community group effort. We couldn't have done it without our community partners and without our sponsors to work with us and to support the project. So that is our list of partners and sponsors, which, of course, Tompkins County is amongst.
Good question here, Rima.
Are any of the other partners financial partners in terms of helping underwrite this process?
I separated that out into the top list are people who are organizations that, well, no, we need the short answer. The partners are the people who help us with outreach and collaborate with us and use the space and that sort of thing, and our sponsors are the people, are the organizations that provide funding.
Frank?
Can you, off the top of your head, do you know what the total contribution the sponsors made to the program, approximately?
I know what our total cost, approximate cost is. It's always a moving target, and that is about $60,000. What the sponsors provided was less than that. How much less? I'm not sure. I would say between $40,000 and $60,000.
That's close enough.
Okay.
Just the. Thank you.
Sure.
I just wanted to add thank you all for your support in the past. We're not asking you for support this year because we are very optimistic we're actually going to get federal fund through the IRS to continue the program. And while we are very, very proud of the numbers that we've put up, and we're very, very proud of our volunteers and the community support, there's two reasons that our volunteers tell us that they come to us to volunteer. One is to the benefits to the community, the numbers that we've talked about. And the second is, and they're really closely connected and very close in terms of the importance to the volunteers. The second is the importance to the individual taxpayer when they come to us, what we actually do to them. So I'm going to tell you one story of one taxpayer that came to us this year. She is a single mom, two kids. Recently separated in 04. That year, the kid's father claimed the kids, and she went out and started a business doing house cleaning. Because the father claimed the kids that year, she actually owed money in taxes because she's self-employed. She has to pay self-employment taxes. So she didn't file that year because she didn't have the money to pay the taxes. And because she owed taxes, she was afraid to file. And for the next 3 years, she did not file her taxes. This year, we finally convinced her to file taxes. And because the kids lived with her, she actually was eligible for the earned income tax credit. And so even though she was making about $8,000 a year after expenses for her business, we were able to actually file her for the four previous years. And even after paying what she owed for 04 with penalties and everything, she had more than $8,000 in earned income tax credits that she got this year. And there's at least every year that happens to three or four people that we manage to bring in. So it really makes a big difference in some people's lives. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And Carl?
I just wanted to say thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time, and also thank you all for the funding for this previous year. We've been meeting with our partners, and we're discussing how to increase the number of clients over the next years. As Brian said, we're looking for federal funding. There's a program out now that we hope to get funding for. So the program will be growing. The volunteers are very excited and very committed. And again, thank you for the time and also the funding for this past year. It was very important to us.
Carol.
Thank you for conducting this program. I think it's an absolutely great program, and to the volunteers, I'm impressed that 79 people have come out and volunteered their time. I'm curious as to what extent you just do people's taxes for them, relieving them of that burden, and to what extent this is able to be become an opportunity for somebody to become a little bit more empowered about money and how it's handled and the implications of how it's saved and spent. Doing your taxes, if you do them yourselves or start to learn how to do them yourselves, can be a time when you can learn about the value of saving and the implications of where you store it and how you handle it. And so I'm just wondering what experiences you've had with that and whether you have recommendations, since you're not coming to the county, for that, of how in future years that kind of empowerment can start to happen if it isn't already.
We are aware that there is a great opportunity here for financial education. We do offer financial education programs, and we do make our clients aware of that. But whether someone is low income or not, there's a great anxiety about filing taxes, and I think that prevents many people from doing their own taxes. And I think it explains why a lot of the paid preparers, why people go to them, why they're so successful. They charge, as Brian said, a tremendous amount of money to do the taxes, yet people still go and pay those large fees. And oftentimes these returns are relatively simple. 1040 EZs, for example, or 1040s without any kind of... any deductions. So very simple returns. There is a lot more we can do in terms of the education part in empowering people. We don't have any plans for that now. I think as the program is proved, it's certainly the next best thing, which is doing the programs, doing the returns for free, and then trying as we can to get people aware that they can do this themselves and kind of put ourselves out of business. But frankly, I don't see that happening. It's just the whole anxiety about tax returns. That's always going to be with us.
Martha?
Thank you. Brian, we talked probably during the tax season earlier this year and talked briefly about trying to do some rural outreach, maybe having some of the sessions in, say, the town of Dryden Town Hall. And it seemed that was not something you could tackle in the middle of the season, but maybe I would urge you to outreach to call Marianne Sum, the supervisor. The new town hall has, I know you also need computer hookups, and they, I think, will be fairly well set up. There might be a way to make that happen. And I know that there's an issue with sort of you want it to be regular so people know that they can come, so maybe it can be worked out sort of a few Saturdays in a row or something like that. So I hope you might be able to look into that.
I appreciate that. We actually are looking at the constraints, the physical constraints at the credit union. We kind of think we've more or less reached our limits there, so we will definitely be looking at doing some outreach and having some satellite sites. So
great, thanks.
We'll be doing that.
Well, thank you again. I think this is a good example for committee chairs particularly to use this opportunity for presentations, highlighting a program that we funded and what the impact is. And I appreciate Carl for calling us to proactively initiate this presentation because it gives us a good return for what we invested in last year. Thanks again. I'm going to move on to a brief chair's report. Some of the legislators were able to meet with the new president of IC last Thursday, Tom Rashawn, in these chambers. That was productive, although brief. And we have an opportunity to meet with a representative from Senator Clinton's office a week from today. That will be the 22nd of July, and I'll give this to you in an email if you're interested at 4:30. So we'll probably meet here, maybe in the old jail conference room. Next Tuesday, our next meeting, August 5th, we are going to have a retreat, but we will have a need for about a 5-minute meeting at the very beginning of that budget retreat. So we may even just start our budget retreat with a 5-minute meeting over in the mental health sixth floor conference room. It's just a quick vote. Kathy?
So we will be having a meeting.
For 5 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
We should be canceling the meeting.
Yeah. Well, we could cancel, or we could cancel and then have a special meeting.
I would recommend having a special meeting if you only have one item.
Yeah. Tonight's action to cancel was still appropriate, and then we'll post the notices to have just a one action special meeting on that night.
If needed.
And finally, I wanted to update folks on the county administrator search. This week, we are interviewing first interviews for 7 candidates, 6 or 7, and we'll hopefully have some recommendations coming from that search committee going forward. Kathy Covert has put into your red folders a whole list of possible dates to consider for our beginning to find time to interview candidates that are recommended to us, anywhere from the beginning of August throughout August. We know that vacation schedules will be challenging, so if you have your calendar with you tonight, please fill it out and get it back to Kathy. The sooner we can get that date set, or dates, the better. At this juncture, we do not know how many candidates will be recommended to us, but the charge was between 2 and 4 candidates, and we have to plan for that. So we're still following the timeline. That's the end of my reports. I don't have any chair's appointments. We'll move on to county administrator's report. Steve Witcher.
Okay, just briefly, budget process has begun. The departments are now working on their budgets, and we'll submit them August 1st. You will get a recommended budget September 1st. That's it.
Jim?
Thank you, Michael. I have a question for you, Steve, and I'm sorry I didn't do this some other time. There was a law that was being proposed, or a bill in the legislature, where they were going to freeze the ability to do anything with health insurance for 1 year while they were going to form a committee. And I never heard what happened with that. Do you have any?
I think it's still on its way to the governor's office. You know, they're sent over in 15-day bills, and they go over in batches. So you have to wait until they're packaged up and they're sent out. I have not seen anything further on that. I'm not even sure if it made it through, but I know it was being considered. I'll look into it.
Thank you very much.
And our county attorney?
No report.
And our finance director, Dave Squires?
I wanted to alert you that I mentioned previously the county had received a grant from New York State Office of Real Property Taxes to study the feasibility of creating a countywide tax database. And we are beginning that process in sending out surveys to the towns. So in the next few days, all town clerks, the school district clerks, will be getting surveys. And the intent is to assess what systems they're using, and so we can come up with a recommended feasibility of whether it's appropriate or feasible. The idea is that all the people who are collecting taxes would upload into a central database periodically in order to have as current a system as possible for the users of the system. We did get a $50,000 grant. $25,000 was for the study, and $25,000 goes to the implementation if you come up with a solution that you want to proceed with. The county's doing a study in-house, being done by my office and ITS. The other thing I wanted to point out is some good news, I guess, about sales tax. You might have seen an article in today's paper referencing a study report by the state controller. Well, I put a copy in everyone's box of that report. It's very useful because it's the first report in a long time on sales tax that's reasonably current, and current because it looks at sales tax distributions from New York State through the first quarter of 2008. And it breaks it down by region. It sheds some light on some things. It shows Tompkins County being the having the highest growth in the southern tier in sales tax collections. And it also shows that we are a little, if you compare how much of the tax base is composed of motor fuels, it shows that we're a little below the average of counties within the state. I think the state says about 8%, and we're about 6% of our tax base is attributable to gasoline. But the purpose, I think, of the state controller was to point out that don't get lulled into complacency by the fact that most counties are experiencing rather positive growth in sales tax, because there's a big whammy that's going to hit, and that's the disappearance of over 100,000 jobs on Wall Street. Each job on Wall Street, they conservatively estimate, is taxed at an income level of about $280,000. And so when that flows through the system, they think that there's going to be a big sucking sound of income tax receipts, and the state legislature will be dealing with a state budget problem because guess who has the income tax revenue? So that's what the purpose of the state controller is saying. Well, our system distributes money, but it's not really tied to the actual current economic activity, so to speak, because there's so many adjustments. And as we reported, our first quarter was very healthy. We were we had growth of about 9% in the first quarter. And I have reason to believe that our second quarter will be up about 6%. We, as a point of comparison, the month income for June was up by about 10%. The first 2 months for the quarter were flat. So I estimate we'll end up probably about 6% growth, which will, at mid-year, still put us in a level of growth over last year of probably 7 or 8%. And we are projecting in next year's budget $1 million increase. But the good thing about the $1 million increase, it's based upon last year's actual income. And so if we exceed our estimate substantially, that the $1 million increase really is not as large as it might appear. It is a 3% increase that we're projecting for next year. So that's the good news. The bad news is the state saying be prepared for the bottom to drop out of the economy. And that's my report.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot.
Just to return briefly to the county attorney's report, we do have some confidential memos in our red folders. We will not be having an executive session regarding those, but I would draw your attention to them and read them. Call Jonathan if you have any questions about them. Do you have no reports from other staff? Are there any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda? Mike Hattery?
I'd like to add Resolution M, which is in your red folder, authorization to conduct a public hearing, proposed acquisition of property for emergency communications tower facility.
A second, Dooley Keeper. All in favor of adding this to the agenda, please raise your hand. Opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. And I'll read out the consent agenda. These are resolutions not expected to be controversial. They can hopefully pass in a single motion. If you want to pull them, just yell out pull. Regarding appointments to the Strategic Tourism Planning Board, Mari Neumer. Resolution A on the Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Agenda and Human Services Committee agendas, budget adjustments, various departments. Under Government Operations Committee, resolution off, okay. Resolution
A?
No, B, under Government Operations. Resolution C, okay. Resolution D under Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality. Award of Tourism Capital Grants, Tompkins County Tourism Program. Resolution E, Funding of Tourism Project Grant. Resolution F, authorizing 2008 Federal Transit Administration Section 5307 grant for urban, rural, job access, and new freedom programs. Under Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Resolution G, award of bid, County Road 188, Station Road Culvert Replacement, Town of Danby. And for Human Resources Committee, Resolution H, amending the plan document for deferred compensation plan for employees of Tompkins County. Who'd like to move the consent agenda? Frank Proto, seconded by Pam Magasy. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you. Since we don't have any staff waiting on any of these resolutions going forward, we'll just go through the regular agenda. We'll call on Government Operations Committee, Mike Hattery as chair.
How'd that happen? If you rotate these every month.
Yeah.
Took me a couple years to pick up on that.
This is this month your first.
We met today right before this meeting, and most of the business that we took up we'll handle in the form of resolutions that are before us. I do want to mention two things that that are happening that you should know about. First of all, the committee we had some discussions with Greg Potter, partly at my urging, to talk about beginning a review of our county communications policy, and probably in September we're going to have a more fleshed out version of how we're going to proceed with that before the committee. Secondly, we got a report from our Deputy County Administrator, Paul Younger, on movement in one of the things that our committee has pushed forward is the revision to the policy manual. One thing that you may not know about is a revision of procedure regarding general business hours for Tompkins County. If you're interested, we've all got copies and you could take a look at it. But that's going forward step by step, and I urge other committees to check out that list for things that should be being revised by folks that you have some oversight relationship with. Okay. I guess that brings us to Resolution B, Amendment of Resolution 7 of 2008, establishing the 2008 meeting dates.
So moved.
Who'd like, so moved.
Who'd like to second? Pam Magasy seconds. Any questions? Kathy.
I just asked to speak to this because I just want to go on record as pointing out that this isn't, in fact, a routine situation where we can cancel a meeting in the midst of the summer. And as a matter of fact, the fact that we have to call a special meeting should point that out. And I predict that there will probably be more than one item, but even with one item for which we have to call a special meeting, I just want to, if it's possible, and I sort of doubt it, but I'm going to try anyway, circumvent comments in coming years that we don't need a summer meeting in July or August or some such date, because I believe that the business of the county does roll on even in the summer, and that making a habit of or specifically changing a meeting, especially since the public and others expect it, to where we don't have a meeting is, I think, not a good practice. So just to make that point and to make sure that it goes on the record, I ask to have this pulled off, and I will vote against this.
Any further discussion? Are ready to vote. All in favor of Resolution B? And any opposed? That passes with two opposed. Thank you. Resolution C.
Resolution C, I'll move authorizing county to enter into a five-year lease agreement for Tompkins County Board of Elections in Ithaca, New York. As you'll note on the agenda, it says pending committee action. I have some minor wording revisions that took place in committee. We met right before.
But first, you're moving the revised version. Do we have a second? Pam Magasy. So minor wording changes to the revised?
Yes. Under the second, whereas, after two additional agencies, we would add two sublease from Tompkins County.
Okay.
And in the third, whereas, we would add After ICS press site, we would re-enter in a different location on Hanshaw Road in the town of Dryden.
Okay, see, I see that.
So with those additions, if that's not a problem.
And that's friendly to the secondary, I take it, Pam? Okay, Dooley Keeper?
What you just read for the second whereas didn't sound quite complete to me, Mike. I thought it was two additional agencies also seek office space and are interested in subleasing in the county, something like that.
The first whereas I said two additional agencies to sublease from Tompkins County also seek office space.
I didn't hear the rest of that.
Okay. Well, I mean, I just read what I added.
Yeah, they also seeks office spaces in there.
Added.
Any further comments or discussion? Ready to vote on Resolution C? All in favor? Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Michael. Move on to Planning, Development, and Environmental Quality Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. The PDQ met on July 10th, and we had a small complement, but we did have a quorum. We had a number of items on the consent agenda, but I'll just whip through a little bit. They were a couple of things on the consent agenda were tourism program, tourism grants, and if anybody's interested in the backup material on the Hangar Theater or Kitchen Theater program, please let me know. I can get that for you. Also, the Ithaca Downtown Alliance, the Visitors Project. On the Resolution F about the transit funding, I would just point in your folder to the sort of revision of that just explains what the new Freedom program is. It's a new program that I think we haven't gotten money for before. Special allocation of federal money to extend access for people who are disabled beyond what is are the ADA paratransit requirements. So that was kind of good news on that front. We had another substantive discussion about housing and the Cornell initiative, the Cornell Community Initiative. We looked at a draft of a memorandum of understanding between among Cornell, the city, and the county. And we worked on language a little bit. City and Cornell are both looking at it also, and we will sort of get brains together and come up with one consistent version of this. This would be essentially guiding how the housing trust, the community trust fund, housing trust fund, and the affordability fund would work. We had some more conversation about things such as the town of Ithaca's involvement. The town is interested and has been part of early discussions, but they don't have a funding source. They don't bring in HUD money. They don't have IORA funds to really be a player, but at this point. But we did realize that what we wanted to make sure the language of the MOU expresses that this is a beginning, and any municipality that is interested or employer that's interested in participating in either of these programs, they will be more than welcome. So those are, we hope, future developments. A significant part of our meeting was discussing the water monitoring plan for Cuba Lake put forth by the Water Resources Council together with Cornell. And as I said, we didn't have a large group. We didn't have the full committee, so we did not have enough votes to essentially pass anything with respect to the plan. My understanding is that on our second meeting in August, I'm going to be Roxy, or there will be a presentation about the plan for the whole legislature by somebody from Water Resources Council. Roxy or Linda? Or?
It'll be myself, Joan Jerkowitz, and Roxy Johnson will make the presentation to this board.
And then the hope is from WRC to bring a resolution for a vote in September. I think so. We may be able to. One of the things that was under discussion was the idea of the two sort of two sides sitting down and trying to come up with a compromise resolution that might make it through committee. And I mean, my own position, if I can speak for Pam, and if I don't speak correctly, you'll correct me, please, was that there's a concern, I think this is among the community as well, that the monitoring plan as it's written right now includes the fact that Cornell's funding for DEC, for the DEC in-lake monitoring as part of the permit for Lake Source Cooling would be reduced significantly. I think the in-lake monitoring would be eliminated, Pam, is that right?
No.
Just reduced.
It would be, the idea is that they're connected in the sense that Cornell is saying that they're looking for support to get their Lake Source Cooling sites, monitoring sites, reduced. And so there, this is the, in this proposal, it says that, you know, we would actually be saying that we were supporting the effort to reduce the monitoring Lake Source Cooling and the whole question of whether these issues should be separated.
Right. So so that's what's under sort of discussion at this point.
Would you like, could I further clarify that when you have a minute?
Yeah. Go ahead.
The report actually does not say that. The report actually says, and you'll hear more about this at the public presentation or the board's presentation in August, the report actually says that two sites, because of overlapping monitoring, two sites that are under consideration should be continued to be monitored, and that they will be continuing to monitor them with additional pieces, including coliform and two other items. And then, if appropriate, and with the DEC's permission, the Cornell piece, if the other monitoring entities are appropriately providing the data, that the DEC consider, if appropriate, reducing the Cornell's responsibility on those two sites. The report does not say those sites should be abandoned immediately. And that seems to be, there seems to be some clarification that needs to be made on that. And that we can do that in August when the report is presented to this board. But you, has this board received, if I could, Martha, for just a second, has this board actually received a copy of the monitoring plan? Have you received your own copies of that?
Yeah. It keeps changing. Yeah. So they haven't.
Well, there's a final one. The final one was presented to the planning committee. And I believe the one that was presented to the EMC was the final one as well. But I'll see that you get copies of that, obviously, prior to the August meeting.
Well, and the this joint statement that we were asked to adopt, resolution asked us to adopt the joint statement, very clearly said that funding for this monitoring plan could only be provided by Cornell if the DEC permit requirements were reduced. So that was in the joint statement. So that was something that Pam and I, of the three people at the meeting, Pam, Frank, and I, Pam and I were on that side, and that was something that was also voted by the town of Ithaca and the EMC, similar statements that same week. So obviously this is something that will be
clarified.
Subject for much more discussion. Sure. Was there anything else you need to add now?
No, I just wanted to suggest that if the proposal that the Water Resources Council has put together, I think it's an excellent idea to get everybody, but I also think that people need to see the joint statement, because the joint statement in the resolution that we are being asked to pass, the joint statement says that we adopt that statement, and that's where the problem arises. It's not the Water Resources Monitoring Plan. I think that they have worked very hard on this, and that we have to seriously look at what they've done. But I think it's the other piece in this that we need to be cautious about and look very carefully at.
And I'll see that you get copies of that as well.
We'll have a presentation on this in August, but let's let Martha finish the report. Are you done, Martha?
No.
Okay. On the subject.
Okay, Julie.
Even if you think you're getting rid of the reference to the joint statement in whatever resolution you might address. My recollection of the monitoring plan is the joint statement is one of the appendices, so it'll be what you're voting on anyway.
Thank you, Julie. We had a presentation by Gary Ferguson and Joe. Damn, what's his name? What? Joe from the Ithaca Downtown Alliance. Downtown Ithaca Alliance. I'm so sorry, Joe. I can't remember.
Make up the name.
What? Anyway, we had a presentation about, because the Downtown Ithaca Alliance is, we'll be putting forth a request within our budget deliberations in the fall for support for the Alliance. Something historically we did support and then stepped away from it a few years ago. So that was something that we discussed in preparation for their request. And there were additional tourism projects that we approved. We looked in some detail at the budget for the tourism, full tourism program, and made comments and asked a bunch of questions. That'll be coming next month also. So that was my resolutions were only on the consent agenda, and the next meeting is August 14th. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? Jim Dennis.
I have a question. It's about the monitoring report and the Water Resources Council. Frank, I have some questions. And may I address them to you by email or hard copy before your presentation in August?
Sure.
Okay.
Or Joan Jerkowitz.
Okay.
Carol?
Can I ask, I'm also a liaison from this body to the Water Resources Council, so I'd appreciate a copy. And just to let you know, I mean, I am also trying to work with the Water Resources Council and Joan on a way to phrase all of this. I'm hoping to find that separates out the questions that recognizes the value of moving forward in partnerships to monitor the lake in all kinds of ways without tying us into a recommendation to the DEC.
Thank you. Martha, I'll talk to you further, but I wanted to make note publicly that the hospitality tourism training grant, I was looking at the numbers, and it strikes me as pretty high for some of that training. The per hour per participant is like $13 an hour that we're using those funds to be training people. So I would register, and I'll follow up with you personally. Any further questions on that report? If not, we'll move on to Budget and Capital Committee. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to step back for a minute. I was too quick to move past Government Operations Committee, and Mike Hattery did have a new resolution he added to the agenda tonight, Resolution M.
Yeah, I'd like to move Resolution M, which was this in the packets or was this distributed later?
It's in our packets. And
which is titled Authorization to Conduct a Public Hearing, Proposed Acquisition of Property for the Emergency Communications Tower Facility. I have one a small change to that that was made in committee earlier today. Adds a whereas after the second one to say whereas access has been obstructed frequently and.
With that small change, is there a second? Kathy Lucerero? Is there discussion? Frank Proto.
Mr. Chairman, I think since this board takes so few actions that are involving eminent domain, I think it's important to at least alert the public that the public hearing is with regard to the preliminary steps to hear anybody's concerns about moving ahead with acquiring this property on behalf of the county. So I mean, phrase it any way you like, but I think that's the intent here. It's for one of the towers, isn't it, Mike?
It's for land adjacent to one of the towers and underneath the tower.
And that is the purpose of a public hearing. So we're voting on whether to hold a public hearing on this matter. Julie Kiefer.
Could we add that to the title, Mike? The eminent domain?
Good
decision part.
Suggest where you'd like to put it.
In the title.
Yeah, well, where in the title?
After the word facility?
At the end.
Just eminent domain.
Via.
Via, okay. Yeah, sure.
Is that friendly?
That's friendly.
And to Kathy, the seconder?
Yes, it is.
Okay, that's now part of it. Martha Robertson?
Could we get, maybe at the hearing, I don't know, could we get maps to illustrate what the property is?
You'll definitely have maps before the evening.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Carol Chalk?
I'm trying to understand why this didn't come. Is there a particular reason that this didn't come through committee?
Government operations. That's why I was investigating.
So you're not doing this as as just your own member that came through the committee? Okay, thank you. Just wanted to clarify that.
But we met today, so it wasn't in the packet.
Okay, thank you.
Are you ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution M as amended? Are there any opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. Thank you, Michael. Now we'll move on to Budget and Capital Committee.
Actually, I have one other item while I am before that.
Sure.
I forgot to mention, Budget and Capital's next. Maybe Nathan's going to talk about this. The next meeting of GO, the second half of it at 3 o'clock is going to be a joint meeting regarding a discussion of the work and rolling out the work of the Core Performance Committee. And so anybody not on either GO or Budget and Capital are welcome. That's supposed to be joint between GO and Budget and Capital.
And that's Friday, August 8th?
At 3 o'clock, that portion of the meeting. Our regular meeting starts at 2.
Yeah. Great.
And if I could add to that, it's been about, I believe it was July 2007, in which the Core Performance Committee was first assembled and started meeting. And this meeting will really be an opportunity to find out what's been done in the past year, also looking at performance standards and indicators that the Core Performance Committee has looked at, and also introducing this really cool tool, which is a quality assurance briefing. We actually had one of them that was presented by Steve about, that was about SMSI? Is that right? Yeah, about the Health Benefits Consortium using that QAB, and that really it's a fantastic tool that just makes sure that we're monitoring things consistently in a similar manner and asking the right questions. And so those things are going to be the things that are going to be talked about and unveiled at this budget and GO meeting. So please definitely come. And I will talk about that in my own report. But I'll be doing a bit of a primer on the core performance work during the budget retreat too, which will be happening just a few days before that. So
why don't we transition to your report now?
Let's transition to my report now. Okay. We had at our last committee meeting, Steve and Norma presented about where the budget is at right now. Right now, there's the budget. This is very tentatively, of course, is at about. They believe that they can get it a 3% budget, but that 3% assumption, as the Ethica Journal actually in their editorial said pretty correctly, is that there's an assumption that we'll only have about $760,000 or so of over target requests. In the past, it's been around $2.5 million a year in over target requests, so it's significantly less. And that's what's probably going to be the most challenging aspect of our budget as we move forward. And so our expanded budget and capital committee meetings that are going to happen in September are going to definitely be exciting. But there's a lot of work that's been done, and I think that because of the way that that administration has approached this budget and just this really just kind of, they have a great database system that's put together. They're working cooperatively with departments. And so, maybe it will be a smoother budget process than I think. But and so that's what we discussed in our last meeting. We also discussed the actual retreat that's going to be taking place in replacement of our regularly scheduled legislature meeting. And I have the agenda here for it. I'm going to pass it around. And I actually, I forgot to mention one part of it, so I'll have to. So once you get it, I'll go over it. Basically, it's going to start out. We're going to start at 5:30, and it's going to start out with just an update of the 2009 budget, kind of giving a similar report to what Steve and Norma gave at our last budget meeting, and just kind of bringing it back and talking about it in a little bit more detail. And then from there, we're going to look at the 2010-2011 future projected budgets. Okay, and there's a lot of assumptions in that, but it's important to look forward and see kind of where we're at, because you know what we do this year will obviously impact future years. And so we're going to look at those future budgets, 2010-2011. And from there, I think it will be an easy transition to start talking about long-term ideas and also having a discussion in small groups about criteria. I mean, it's criteria for decision-making. And really all that is us getting into groups and beginning to articulate between each other what are going to be the things that we're going to value as we're looking, especially at the over-target requests and participating in the expanded budget and capital committee meetings. And so after we have that small group discussion, and what I forgot to mention is that we'll have a debriefing of that discussion after that, and then we'll move forward with talking about tools for the long term, and one of those tools is, of course, the work that's been done with the Core Performance Committee. And all I'm going to do is just provide a quick kind of briefing on kind of what ways in which we can conceptualize performance management and core performance, and you know, in layman terms, you know, very simple, just to act as kind of a primer before the Core Performance Committee does its presentation to Budget and GEO the next Friday. And so it was given an hour in the agenda there, but I don't think it will take that long, unless of course, well, you know, we want to take that long. So That's what the budget retreat's going to look like. And from there, am I missing anything? Steve? Mike? All right. Where am I at right now? I'm sorry, I have so many things on my desk. What else did we talk about? Budget retreat. Right, so I have resolutions.
Before we go to the resolutions, yeah. I think probably at your next meeting, which is the 28th of July, we'll start circulating possible dates for the expanded budget committee, correct?
Yeah, we'll do that, except I probably am going to be the most difficult person on that because my class schedule is not going to be released until August, and so we'll do the best that we can with that, though.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I have two resolutions. Two, right? You have two resolutions. And I have Resolution I and Resolution J. I'll start with Resolution I first because, well, it comes first in the alphabet, and it's also a much shorter title than the next one. And so Resolution I is budget adjustment and appropriation of unspent funds from 2007 to various accounts. And I so move.
Seconded by Mike Hattery. This is our traditional collapse from all departments rollover request. Is there discussion? If not, this is a short form roll call.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Is there anyone who wishes to be recorded as a no? Thank you. That's unanimous. Move on to Resolution J.
All right. Oh. Resolution J, to make permanent the exemptions from sales and compensation use taxes for receipts from sales of and consideration given or contracted to be given for or for the use of property and services exempt from state sales and compensating use taxes pursuant to subdivision EE of section 1115 of the New York State tax law pursuant to the authority of Article 29 of the tax law of the State of New York.
Is there a second?
Okay, so what does it mean?
Basically,
less than seconds.
Yeah. So basically, we gave a sales tax exemption for solar for the purchase of sale of solar panels, and we had a sunset clause on that. This is just saying that we are until we say otherwise, we want to make those exemptions permanent until we say otherwise.
Discussion, Carol Chuck.
I had proposed a change in title to this, but I've been informed by the county attorney that that is probably not acceptable. But I would like to at least tell you what I was proposing to change the title to, and see if there's any. And I'm willing to withdraw what I was going to amend it to, unless there's further discussion about it. What I wanted to change this title to is what we're actually doing, which is simply to, in the first whereas, to permanently exempt residential solar energy systems equipment and the service of installing the systems from local sales and compensating use taxes.
You don't have to read
pursuant
that.
To all the subdivision yeah. section and blah blah blahs and pursuant to authority of Article 29, which would make a lot more sense to me to have the title to let the public know what it is that we're doing. Apparently, and I'll let Jonathan talk for himself if he'd like to, according to New York State, this has been back and forth, as I understand, several times with the state, and in spite of our attempts to try to change it to something that makes more sense, this is the way they're willing to approve it. I just would like to register my, if that is true, I would like to just register my complaint that New York State does not allow us to use plain language to accomplish these purposes and let the public know that what we're doing is exempting something that has a public purpose, solar energy systems, to encourage the building of those.
Thank you, Carol. I think the way that we can accomplish that is having Marcia putting our press release. And are you from the Ithaca Journal? That in an article. Say basically that we are. You know, so the people know. Yeah. You know.
Make sure it says Nathan said.
No, you know, so the people know that these are exempt are permanent.
So that's not friendly. I'm not seeing a motion. I'm going to go to Dooley Kiefer next and then Jim Dennis.
Well, I noticed that the title does have the phrase property and services. And presumably, after property, one could put in parentheses what that refers to, and after services, one could put in parentheses what those services are and still meet the state's pettiness.
Jonathan?
Yeah. Granted, this is in order. The way these things work is the state has a division for amending these various tax resolutions, and when you want to do it, you contact them and they send you what you need to do in order to do it. You need to adopt this and this schedule, and Kathy follows the schedule, you know, so many days, and you need to adopt this in so many days, and we send them back, including this one, at least twice, several times. Can't we be a little more artful and use this and that? And then a month later you may get it back saying, well, we'll let you do this but not that. But you don't want to submit something to them that they haven't pre-approved, because then you run the risk of not having it pass. So, yes, it's inartful, but if this is what we want to do, I recommend we adopt it as the state has given it to us.
Do I understand that you already sent those changes in there?
Well, we had sent several changes because I think it went to a committee earlier, or we had sent several proposed changes, at least to even put it into our form. Put some, you know, to make it make more sense than it otherwise did. Let's put it that way.
So I see this as a task for our representatives to NYSAC and to our elected state officials.
On the other hand, I will say this. The people there are very friendly and responsive. They just have their way of, you know, they want it. Yeah, they just have their way. They want this. They want everything to be uniform. They don't want something coming from one county, different thing coming from another county. But they're actually quite a decent group to work with.
We will proceed with Resolution J, as inartful as it is. Jim Dennis.
Can we use parentheses? You know, you are my sunshine.
I would just recommend against it. I'm not saying no, reject it. I just think.
Any further discussion?
Can I point out something that was pointed out when I was having a discussion about this? And I will call the question after I make
well,
my comment. Frank has a comment. Sorry, Frank. I won't do call the question. Is that there is irony in the sense that there was a sunset clause on this?
Okay. Okay.
Right? Because it had to do with solar.
Frank Proto.
Nathan, I have a. Nathan, I've got a series of questions for you.
Yes, sure.
Let me go through them first, okay? First, does our action tonight automatically approve this, or does it need the state's buy-in by, like, when, as we occasionally vote to extend the sales tax, the permission to enact the sales tax, does this need the state's vote in any way, or is our vote sufficient?
I think we should ask our county attorney that question.
Yeah, we need to send this back to them, and they need to approve it.
They need to approve
it. They've actually pre-approved it.
So it's already been approved?
Well, they pre-approved it, but they expect us to adopt it and send it back to them according with the schedule that they've submitted to Kathy.
Is it true that individuals who, isn't it still true that individuals who receive or who are applying for these are eligible for, not the exemptions, but for solar panels? My recollection is that occasionally there are state grants in order to encourage people to, if they want to do this, that they can do it. Is it your understanding that that's still an option, that people can apply for?
Yeah, I think so, but I know that there was recent discussion to actually undo a lot of those exceptions, but I don't think it got through.
Some of them was federal money, some of it was state money, and some came from the EPA, some came from NYSERDA.
Yeah.
I mean, there were all sorts of, because when Steve Nicholson and I looked into it a number of years ago, there were five or six places where you could apply.
Yeah.
I think some of those are still available.
Yeah, oh, no, definitely, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to vote against this for the following reasons. This highlights, and it's not because I'm against solar panels, but it highlights only one alternative energy source. Doesn't cover wind power. There are a lot of people in my district that burn wood. We're doing some work with Cooperative Extension on pellets and on corn pelleting and on switchgrass that provide alternative energy. And I think because of the potential for the individual who's applying for this to get a grant, not in every case, but they can get a tax credit, as I understand it, if you read the income tax forms correctly. There are credits available to this, and I don't think that the addition of adding a sales tax exemption is appropriate, unless we extend it to all alternative energy sources. And this resolution doesn't do that.
Martha Robertson.
Is there currently a state, similar state law for wind or other, anybody know?
You mean like incentives?
Yeah, no, like, I mean, is there a version of this that includes wind or geothermal?
You mean like a state sales tax exception? Or because this is a...
mean that includes all the other alternatives?
Right. Is there a version? Are there any other?
Not in effect in Tompkins County.
Not that I'm aware of. This law is just for solar.
Well, let's do those next, but I think it's not a reason to vote against this, that it doesn't include everything else.
Before I vote, I'll disclose I'm about to put a lot of solar panels on my house. But they're used solar panels, so I won't be getting this benefit. Are you ready to vote? All in favor? Are there any opposed? That's two opposed. Thank you very much. Did you catch those?
And I believe that concludes my report.
Thank you, Nathan. Move on to Public Safety Committee. Greg Stevenson, Chair.
The committee hasn't met since its regular meeting in June. We'll be meeting again this Friday, the 18th of July at 2 p.m. Concludes my report.
Thank you. Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie McBean Claiborne, Chair.
No report.
Thank you. Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Prot. On to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, Leslie McBean.
What happened to the workforce?
There was no report, so, but.
And then no one was here for health.
We had a report
service.
Last time. We don't meet again until next week.
Health and Human Services Committee, Frank Proto, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Okay. The committee met on July 2nd, and we did cover quite a bit of ground. I'd like to give you some highlights of some of the items. The saving of Lakeside Nursing, which a lot of you participated in, precipitated a short report by Lisa Holmes, and the final numbers that she had said that we would retain, or Lakeside will retain, 100 skilled nursing beds, the 80-bed assisted living facility, the 55 slots that are out slots that permit others to come in, and 25 slots that are targeted to low income, plus over 250 employee positions. So we're quite happy with that, and I know you would be too. With the effort made in this county for housing, Lisa also reported that the county agencies and the county itself received $1.5 million from the state for various housing programs. I just want to bore you for a second with the statistics so you get some idea what the magnitude is. The Office for the Aging had originally applied for $75,000 in emergency funding in this regard. They actually were granted $125,000 because the state changed the guideline and it permitted agencies to receive more. So the Office for the Aging received quite a chunk. Better Housing for Tompkins County received over $326,000. And then another grant for $328,000, which was quite substantial. Ithaca Neighborhood Housing Services received about $400,000, and the town of Dryden received just over $300,000. So the county's in line for $1.5 million in housing programs, which is a nice plus. We went over some of the registry requirements for home health aides, individuals who are servicing them. Some of us are still trying to get the salaries increased, and that's been an ongoing battle for about 15 years. We also had an opportunity to meet Ann Tonzi, who is the new HospiCare director. If you haven't met her, I think you'd be impressed. She gave us quite a report on what HospiCare is looking for and looking towards over the next several years. Excuse me. Child Protective Services update by Social Services, very interesting. One of the concerns that came out of there, and you might hear this during budget season, the caseload has increased, and according to the individuals that gave us the report, 8 workers out of 10 are experiencing caseloads over 15, and that is a statewide, it isn't just particular to Tompkins County, it's a statewide issue. So I think we're going to begin seeing some of the effects of this countywide. I'm not going to
Fred,
go over every single. Yes?
Can I just say, that was Marianne Banks gave us that report, and it was quite striking what they deal with on a day-to-day basis in Child Protective Services and how they forge ahead in doing it. And she gave a really excellent report and did an excellent job.
I'm not going to report on what the various criteria that they gave us are, because it's quite long and it's a little telling, and very sad. But if you'd like, we can have the minutes of the Health Committee circulated to you. Carol's absolutely right. It was a very interesting and somewhat unfortunate revelation. Youth Services, we had a very good report from Nancy on the funding recommendations through Youth Services. You'll see more of that as budget. And we had a report also on their anger management program. It's quite interesting to note how many kids are associated with anger management in this community and what they're doing to help prevent it. The irony was, we finished in such record time that since the first time this year, we actually had an opportunity to hear liaison reports, and it was quite
totally
quite nice. Those of you who put a lot of time in doing that, some of us do. It was nice to have that update. The next committee meeting is August the 6th. And I have, I'll spare you, I do not have a resolution on the agenda today.
Thank you. Any questions? If not, we'll move on to Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Leslie?
No.
You're going to mention the joint...
Anger management.
mention the joint meeting Thursday.
Yes.
Please. Sorry.
The Facilities and Infrastructure Committee met this afternoon, and I will ask Vice Chair Kathy Lucero to that report, but I do want to say on Thursday, July 17th, which is our usual meeting time, there will be a joint committee meeting of HHS and F&I. Only it begins at 2:30. We usually start at 3:30. We will begin at 2:30, and the purpose of that is a presentation by Holt Architects regarding the draft feasibility study report for the lifelong office for the aging cohabitation.
Cohabitation. Before you launch into your report, has someone from the city been invited to that meeting? Because we got a note from the mayor's office. They're feeling a little bit left out of some of these discussions.
We will make sure that that happens.
Okay, thank you.
Event not you have not places yet.
I'll invite the mayor.
But thank you for the reminder.
Oh, okay.
And I will yield the rest of the time to...
Can I add something? Just to clear the record, the official record, I think one of the points of the project was to determine how to live in a space together without actually merging and being able to stay together.
It's called cohabitation.
Cohabitation without merging?
Come to the meeting, and you will know more about what it is about. More about the feasibility study.
I think we'll have good attendance.
Thank you. Yes. See, you say things like that so people come out to see what it really is about.
Kathy Lucero, what happened at today's meeting?
We met. We discussed the resolution. We made a minor change. I think we removed a comma. Then Dooley arrived, and she agreed that it was wonderful. And we voted on it, and then it made it to the consent agenda.
Great.
And there you have it.
Excellent.
I made that as long as I could because it sounded like it needed to be important.
All right.
We did.
If there are no further questions for the F&I committee, we'll move on to the Human Resources Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you, Michael. Item K, Resolution K was in your folder, authorization of K Road Patrol contract negotiator costs from the contingent fund. I would move that.
Is there a second? Nathan Shinagawa seconds. Is there discussion? Jim.
I don't usually talk about labor negotiations, but I do want to make a comment on this. We have an arbitration set up for October, and we will have spent nearly $35,000 after this. And 1% of the 0506 Road Patrol salary is $30,000.
Thank you. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of resolution? I'm sorry, it's a roll, short form roll call.
Mr. Stevenson?
Yes.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Does anyone wish to be recorded as a no? That's unanimous. Thank you. We'll move on to the individual member file resolution from Mike Sigler. Resolution L.
Pardon?
Resolution L.
Thank you. As you guys probably know, I'm not a big advocate for spending more money. This isn't really even a pet project for me. I think this is the right thing to do, so that's why I'm bringing it forward. For me, this really is an equity issue. I said this in GO that I really felt this was an equity issue as well. Initially, when I brought this to GO, I asked for $21,000. And the reason behind that was...
Michael, why don't you move it first and get it on the floor?
I'm sorry. I would like to move this if I can get a second. That would be great.
Tyke Randall seconds. Okay. Discussion, Mike Sigler.
Initially, I asked for $21,000 because what I did was I took the year, prorated it because we gave $29,000 to each rural library. And I prorated that because the Lansing Library was only going to be a full-fledged rural library for 9 months out of that year. That got shot down. So what I did was I brought it back thinking that $5,000 would not only be more reasonable, but Trumansburg, Newfield, Dryden, and Groton, as you can see in the resolution, when they first joined the Finger Lakes Library, they had to put all their titles into the database. And Lansing Library actually was awarded a grant, I believe, through the Tryout Foundation to do that. But of course, with any kind of startup like this, there are going to be additional costs. I put those in the resolved so that you know what this money is going to be going toward. I didn't feel it was fair to punish them, really, because they actively went out and sought a grant to pay for that end of it when they knew that there would be other costs associated. I would hope that the other libraries, when they were joining the Finger Lakes system, did the same thing. Maybe they got their grant for something else as opposed to trying to electronically sort their system. I know that we can make the argument that they weren't a library, I guess, in 2000, you know, coming into the year, although the vote did happen before 2008. But the fact of the matter is, even though we voted on this budget back last fall, it's 2008 now, and this is not unheard of that we would go into the budget during the actual year and add funding here and there for certain things, considering we are in 2008, and this is the 2008 budget. Granted, it means we have to dip into the contingency fund, but I mean, that's, I believe, kind of what that money's for in case of contingencies. So I know that this will be something that we'll have to discuss, actually, at our budget meeting when it comes up to rural libraries. Now there are five as opposed to four. We'll see where the funding goes in 2009, but at least for this year, I'd like to see them get this $5,000 so they get off to at least a solid start. Thank you.
Further discussion? Frank Proto.
Having chaired three special committees on libraries over the years, and being the representative at one point to the Board of Trustees for TCPL, I would find it difficult not to support this in the manner in which you've presented it, Mike, as a $5,000 contingency fund request. However, I want to make sure that we're not buying in, and I was glad you added the comment about discussing this during budget season, that we're not buying into elevating this new library to the same status of the other four immediately. We have had endless discussions over 20 years with the other four libraries. They've presented budgets to us time and time again, justifying the increases, justifying the ups and downs in their budgets, and also when they joined and became part of the Finger Lakes Library system, when we had to help upgrade the computer system. That's part of what this $20,000 that I think you're referring to here, it wasn't for startup funds, but let's leave that alone. I don't want to reword your resolution. The other libraries also presented to us copies of their budgets, which showed which ones were receiving funds from school districts and other funding sources. And I think at the appropriate time, you should alert Lansing that if they're going to request that they be a part of our budget process, that they should make sure that they have copies of those requests handy. And the budgeting, Ulysses receives money from their school district. My recollection is Dryden does. Groton, I believe, does also. So I'm going to support this, but I really want to add a word of caution that this is not an automatic, in my book anyway, that they will be considered as part of the funding pool that these other four rural libraries have worked so hard to achieve. And not that I have anything against Lansing, but they may have to justify some of the requests before they're brought up to the same level that the other four have worked so hard to achieve. Thank you.
Craig Stevenson, then I'll speak, and then Martha.
I've generally been a supporter of rural libraries since I came on this board, and I certainly applaud Mike's efforts on behalf of his constituents. But when this has come up in committee before, We've had the opportunity to speak to Lansing Library folks, and I'm going to not support this for one pretty specific reason, and they didn't budget for any money from the county, and they said they don't need it. I think it's been talked about here before. One of the problems that we have with money is giving it out too frequently to places that might not need it. I think this is an example of that. I look forward to discussing how we're going to handle a fifth rural library at budget time, but I see this as a little bit different, and I just don't think they need it, and I would do the same thing Mike's doing for my constituents if this library were in Newfield or Enfield, but I just can't support this resolution.
Now, add on to that, they're certainly not asking for it, but years ago when the four rural libraries were asked to get together to evaluate their different needs, and they were on different reimbursement schedules or different amounts that were given by Tompkins County because of the different needs, they could not come up with a solution on how to allocate, and what ended up happening is the proposal went to let everyone get the highest dollar amount that any one library was getting, and those libraries continue to get that amount, and they never asked for that increase at that time. Certainly they can use it, but they weren't asking for it. So for that same reason, I will not be supporting this. I have Martha, then Leslin, then Carol, then Dooley.
I don't know if I missed something, but did this go through committee?
No.
Not one?
No, the member previously has tried to go through committee, yes.
It's been proposed to what, budget committee?
No, GO.
GO. And I assume didn't get out of GO, and that's why you...
Correct.
Thank you.
Leslin.
All the things that Frank said. Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
I'll let him speak from now on. But I also... although I'm willing to support this at this point, but reluctantly, in reading it, one of the things that I want to caution about and make sure it's clear in your resolve with the explanations of costs, that the search committee, it would be my expectation that the search committee will do a very inclusive search for the library manager, and that is something that I would be interested in certainly hearing about for my support. Thanks.
Carol Chalk?
I guess I'm trying to understand a little bit more about why this is outside of the normal budget process. I wasn't on the legislature at the time, but I do remember reading in the papers and following and agreeing when the four other libraries, specifically it was for joining the system, the Finger Lakes Library System, and that seemed to me to be a reasonable one-time expense. The analogy in here doesn't seem to make sense to me because I don't think this is, I wouldn't put this that in the same classification. These are not for similar costs that were given on that one time to the others. But I am trying to, I don't want to not support libraries because I really applaud efforts of communities to provide library services. But I am trying to understand the level of objections and why you're bringing this outside of the budget process.
Well, because it was a reading room. So we passed the budget in the fall. In December, it was voted to make this into a full-fledged library where you have to hire a librarian, you're going to be chartered by the state. So it happened after the budget process. So although I'm hoping that it'll at least be talked about this year in the budget, it's still 2008 and they're a full-fledged library that's not getting any of the money that the other rural libraries are. So that's why it's outside of the budget process.
Dooley Kiefer.
Well, Carol, I don't know if what Greg said was sufficient to explain why GEO did not accept Mike's earlier resolutions, but Greg said everything I wanted to say. And if there were, and you're right, the justification for giving the money in Mike's current resolution is not at all the same as the reason $5,000 was given to the other libraries at the time it was given. And I think you're terrific on behalf of your constituents to keep doing this, and I wish you'd stop it because it really isn't justified. We're going to deal with it at budget time for 2009 and bring your ammunition in.
I tell you what, I'll stop it after this if you'll stop bringing up that meeting in August.
Thank Frodo and then Martha.
I just want to go back and clarify the third whereas, something that Carol said. We did not give the four rural libraries $20,000 to join the Finger Lakes library system. When we started this, and bear with me, we used to give the four libraries $1,000 each, a total of $4,000. Over the years, we were able to gradually increase that for a lot of different reasons. Well, all those reports are in Kathy's office. I know you're anxiously awaiting a time to glom onto them so you can read them. What drove some of the increase to the four libraries was the need. They were part of the Finger Lakes library system through Tompkins County Public Library and the Finger Lakes library system. They needed a computer upgrade in order to change to what was known then as Dynex. Remember those days, Steve? It was known as Dynex, D-Y-N-E-X.
Do you have one of those?
Dinosaur.
I have one of the original ones. And it enabled them to access books through the Finger Lakes library system. People could check it. They were not made. A donation to these libraries of $20,000 was not made so they could join the Finger Lakes library system. Just point of clarification. But let the resolution stand, but I think you need to understand that there's a little bit of a misnomer in this.
I'd like to proceed to a vote, but I see Martha wants to speak.
I think it's great that the reading room has become a library. I'm really supportive of that, and I hope I can support it in the fall, when it comes to the budget vote.
Are we ready to vote? Carol?
I'm just going to say, I'm going to support this, because because my very first nonprofit venture was a library that I created in my house when I was about 10 years old.
And, did you get county money?
No, I did not get county money, but I still have the photograph.
You needed a county legislator to go and ask.
I have the floor, guys. I still have the photograph of handing over $20.86 to my local small library from the money that I earned in fines collected from my book collection that I lent out to neighbor kids. And I do have a soft touch for people in communities creating and pooling and making available library resources. So I will, in spite of the fact that there seems to be objection and this seems to have been controversial in the past, I'm going to support it, and because it's not, because of the amount that it is. I may not be as good a touch when it comes to the full budget process for next year, but I will.
Carol, after the meeting, I'll let you know I've started the Forest Home Library. I'd like a check.
$20.86, I might want to come in.
Are we ready to vote? Julie Kiefer.
I can't help it. They did not ask for it. They did not budget for it. And it's really strange to give them public money now, Carol.
I think all the arguments have been made. Are we ready to vote? All in favor of member file? This is a roll call vote. Excuse me. Resolution. Let's do long form.
Mr. Stevenson?
No.
Ms. Chalk?
Yes.
Mr. Dennis?
No.
Mr. Hattery?
No.
Ms. Herrera?
No.
Ms. Keeper?
No.
Ms. McAsey?
Sadly, no.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Yes.
Mr. Proto?
Yes.
Mr. Randall?
Yes.
Ms. Robertson?
Sadly, no.
Mr. Shinagawa?
That doesn't count.
This is a budget check.
Let's see. I just feel really, No.
Mr. Sigler?
Yes.
Mr. Plinkler?
No. That fails 9-5, is that correct? Would someone like to move the minutes of our previous meeting?
Move.
June 17th, July 1st, move together. Frank moves them. Do we have a second? Martha Robertson seconds. Ready to vote? All in favor of the minutes?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. Motion to adjourn. Greg Stevenson.
What's the official line of this meeting?